Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today at all the campuses. Come on, Faith Church, you can do better than that. It's Thanksgiving weekend. You know, I am stoked about this weekend. If you were not here last week, if you're wondering what the house is, last week was our Heart for the House kickoff for the next 4 weeks leading up to our Jesus offering on the 11th and 12th, where we're actually, get this, taking our third state. Come on, we're taking the state of Illinois for God. If you weren't here last weekend, raise your hand because we want to give you this booklet. It's beautiful. It's got a picture of me and Nicole. I mean, what's not to like about that in there? And if you flip through it, you're going to see the new building. That's the centerfold, which is a miracle. 5 years of grace and favor. And guess what? This thing has 5 acres of land, 5 theaters on the one side, 5 on the other. Does that sound like God or what? And so every step of the way, it's got the inside pictures of the seats, which are gorgeous. Basically, it's the wealth of the center laid up for the just. It's in Fairview Heights, Illinois, which is kind of, it's interesting because just a few miles around there is really nice homes. And then about, you know, 5 minutes from there, east is East St. Louis. I mean, East St. Louis is known for a lot of crime and so on, but we're hoping to reach all those people in that area, in that underserved area, and bring, that's what I love about our church, is you'll have doctors and lawyers sitting next to people that they're just actually have been, you know, just abused or in bad situations their whole life. And so we have an opportunity to plant that church, and you're going to do it, and we're going to do it together on December 11th and 12th. So again, if you didn't raise your hand, you can get them on the way out today. I do want to talk to you about being thankful. Everybody shout, being thankful. How many of you think sometimes you're a little more hateful than grateful? Raise your hand. Don't point at anybody, but just like, yeah, I'm not as thankful. Let's try that again. How many of y'all could be a little more thankful? I'll put it that way. I'm more thankful. When I look back over my life, I remember here in Sunset Hills, Missouri, where I'm preaching today. In Sunset, we got our first house over in Sunset Hills, and I was about 13. And we'd had houses before that, but they were really bobo. This house was a nice, respectable home. My dad bought this house, and I remember our first Thanksgiving in that house. We'd never done this before. We had a Thanksgiving table. I remember my dad sit down, and he started praying a prayer, and I'm like, who's this guy? We've never prayed at Thanksgiving. We've never been. He started talking stories about Thanksgiving. What he did at that day, at that new house, what he said, culture in place. Culture is important in a home. If you don't get the culture right, the house is just built basically on the sand. Remember that? The Bible said, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And it says, the foolish man built his house on the sand. That day, I remember my dad sitting there and he started praying over that house. That taught me culture. He said, God, we're thankful for this house. We're thankful for this turkey. And he wasn't talking about me. He was talking about the one on the table. We're thankful for our family. He started going through this stuff. And then he started rebuking the devil. You know your dad's kind of Pentecostal when this happens. He said, I thank you, God, that every demon that's been in this house, that attorney that used to live here, that was the attorney for Walmart, and his wife died of cancer, and then he died of cancer. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. There'll be no cancer in this house. There'll be no divorce in this house. There'll be no disease in this house. And I'm thinking, man, this turkey getting cold about right now, right? But my dad was setting culture and bringing in a spirit of Thanksgiving. Now, today, if we fast forward to where we are today, I think the world at large is less grateful and more hateful than ever before. Raise your hand if you've seen that. It's just less, come on, try it again. How many of y'all see a little more hateful and a lot less grateful? What are you thankful for? Even the Bible said this, and we wrote a song about it. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks for he has given Jesus Christ, his son. I can tell if you've been saved a long time, if you know Hosanna and Integrity Music. So thankful is where we need to be. Culture is what we really need to focus on. And then we need to make sure we're focusing not on the possessions, but the things that's possessing us. What's possessing you today? That's a question. That's a good one. Oh, it's that thing that I really want for Christmas. It's those Yeezy shoes, or it's that Gucci belt, or it's that Tesla car. And so many times we get focused on the wrong thing. It's very easy to do that even now, you know. We're worried about, what do they call it, the porch pirates? I didn't know this until my father-in-law told me last night. He said, have you heard of porch pirates? It's when you order your stuff from Amazon, if you don't have a Ring camera and you can't see it, the porch pirates will steal your stuff. How many of you have heard of porch pirates? I hadn't heard about it. And a 90-year-old man told me about porch pirates last night. He said, hey, you know, we got to make sure that they actually got places now that you can go ship your stuff so porch pirates don't steal your stuff. By the way, I still like just going to the store so I can just get my own stuff off the shelf. Can I get an amen in there? Now, Nicole's going to disagree because she likes Amazon Prime and Amazon right now. I get it. But what I want you to focus on today at all of our campuses is ask yourself this question. Has life this Thanksgiving weekend started kind of messing with your house? Your house is your castle, they say. Your house is where you, mom, you, dad, set culture in the house. And you know the devil comes to steal your house, steal your joy, steal your life. And one of the ways he does it is he tries to get us kind of aggravated with one another, bickering at one another. In fact, there's a passage of scripture I want to read about that in James 3, verse 6. I'll put it on the screen. It says, the tongue is also a fire. This tongue is on fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And it itself is set on fire from hell. Have you ever went home and all of a sudden it seemed like all the people in your house were straight from hell? You didn't tell them to go there, but you just thought, man, what happened? What did I do? I worked all day, took all that stuff for you guys, came home so you can have a great room and electricity's on and you get to not being thankful that God gave you breath and britches to do it. You're a little aggravated and you come in and because the culture's wrong, your tongue is wrong, and now you set on fire a culture that messes up your whole life. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You know, I remember one time being in the grocery store and somebody hit me with a cart in the back and they said, oh, I'm sorry. And I said, hey, it's no big deal. And I remember that Nicole hit me with the cart one time and I'm like, you are a horrible driver. What in the world are you doing? Because sometimes home is the place we go to stop being nice. Well, home's where I let my hair down. Well, maybe we shouldn't. So that's why, again, the heart for the house is so important, because if you don't go to God's house, then it will mess up your house because you don't know how to set culture in your house, and you learn the culture of your house from the culture that is coming from God's house. Somebody ought to give God praise today. That's why we want to go to the house of God. But our tongue sets that thing on fire. Especially now this Thanksgiving weekend, we're around people that are family of origin instead of family of choice. Remember when you were a kid and you're like, I really don't want to be with my family of origin. I sure would like to be with my friends. Because you can't really be friends with your family. And sometimes that doesn't go away. Can I get an amen? They're not here today. So we have our family of origin. It's where you were birthed from. Then you have your family of choice. That's the people of the dream team. You showed up early at the high school. Ferguson Florissant setting up blow-ups, doing everything that you do at all the campuses. That's your family of choice. So sometimes when you're forced to be around people who aren't your family of choice, but family of origin, you need church to help you. Let's talk about the possessions one more time again. My dad taught me that the important stuff in life was not the stuff, that the important stuff in life was the people. Now, it's again, God's not against you having stuff. He's against stuff having you. Can I get an amen on that? The Bible clearly said that don't hoard up possessions in your house where thieves, moths, rust can corrupt. We see that even in the American dollar today. If you're like, hey, I need to save. And you're finding out now through inflation and deflation that at least 3-4% of your dollar goes down every year. So if you have $100 one year, you got $96 the next. Then maybe it goes down to 90 and then it goes down to 85. It just keeps dwindling away because of inflation. So the answer must not be in life. Let's get as much as we can as much as we get, and then set on the can. It would be, let's use what's in our hand to do what's on God's heart, to build his kingdom eternally. I wish I had somebody to help me today and move forward into what God has for us. But if life is all about you, all of a sudden now, all this stuff could just go up in smoke. What's cool about our guys is they actually built a real house. We're about to go in the house, y'all. Come on in. You know, many of us walk up the steps at nighttime to say goodnight to what it really is important. What's really important is that mom and dad stay together. That's culture, though. Culture has to be right. Love is kind. Love's not puffed up. Love doesn't insist on its own way. It says love, God's love, never fails. So many times I talk to people and they say, man, later in life they tell me, I remember being in my room and I was 12 and I was crying because basically their house was on fire. Mom and dad aren't gonna be together anymore. And most of the time it's because they didn't go to church. They might've even went to counseling, and counseling is good, by the way. But the great counselor, Jehovah God, the Almighty, is living and abiding on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that's telling you all the time, you know what's more important than the stuff that's in that safe? The stuff that is safe in that room. And so that's why, again, we've got to build more churches in more cities to reach more people, because we're not for everybody, but we're for somebody. How many of y'all would raise your hand today at our campus and say, this is the church for you? Raise your hand if you're like, my life was changed here. Come on, let me see it. Online, talk to me. Well, there's certain churches that are for you. That's why the Bible told me years ago, God showed me this out of the Word. It said that my sheep know my voice and a stranger they'll not follow. He said, people are gonna hear your voice and they're gonna know in their homes through TV. By the way, our church, tithing and giving is what allowed us to do that. Through the power of television, through the power of social media, we're bringing the gospel through this voice, through this kind of creativity that's making a difference in people's lives. And that's why God's asking you the question this Thanksgiving weekend. Hey, guess what? My birthday's coming up. And you know what I want for my birthday? My daughter, who's in that room, she just turned 18 last weekend, and she had a list. She had actually a file, and she sent it to us. She had a list of the things she wanted in the price ranges that were available for the people in her. I mean, y'all know this chick knows what she's doing. Basically, Ashley was saying, if you're in this tax bracket, here's what I'd like for you. And if you're in this tax bracket, here's what I'd like for you. At least the chick knows what she wanted. Can I get an amen on that? But the whole point that I'm saying is she knew what she wanted for her birthday. Do you know what Jesus wants for his birthday? That Jesus offering that we bring every year, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Those are the most expensive words in the whole world. That means that we need $2.5 million to finish up this thing, to make the house, which is basically just another room at Faith Church, a home for somebody that you're in Florida and you're like, I'm never going to Illinois. But you know what Jesus is? And there's a lot of people there that are suffering because they're not doing what God called them to do. You say, well, what's in it for me? Well, the teaching that you heard right now is what's in it for you. Because when I think about the safes in your house, we all work all the time and we go to work and we do what we can what we get, and then we put it in that can. And I remember when my dad went out to be with the Lord, I looked in his safe and there was some of his jewelry and the precious stuff. There was his guns. And then my brothers came in and my mom came in and everybody was saying, hey, you can have this and you can have this. And I got to thinking about everything that my dad accumulated in his life was all in that safe, but he didn't take it with him. Do you know the only thing that you can take with you when you go to heaven is the EROI, the internal return on investment? When you're saying, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, that actually you and I could be saved, then he tells us that we're supposed to follow out the Great Commission. But then we go home and we're not focused on the right thing. And life is just like this match. Watch how quick it lights up, and like that, you're snuffed out. This is how trouble starts at home. You're at home thinking about what the kids should have done, what your wife should have done. And now remember, we read that scripture a minute ago. It says the tongue is a little fire. And you start a little fire in your house, thinking about the wrong thing, looking at the wrong thing, talking to the wrong people. And now the whole house burns up because we're not focused on the Word of God. Even in this, and I brought this up here this weekend because I'm thinking about how fast matches go. And then I was thinking about these. I don't know how long this could last, but it could last for a really long time. It's like, you know what? I'm never going to forgive my husband. I'm never going to forgive those kids. And it just lightened up your whole house. This is a problem. It's going away quick. This whole house could be on fire and burned down because I did not do what was right with my life. But just this quick, you can walk out that door. You can slam the door on the enemy and say, I'm taking my house back. I'm taking my marriage back. I'm taking my mind back. I'm taking my finances back. Somebody ought to give God praise today. And you can just extinguish the fires of hell that were coming against you. Because guess what? God is bigger than the devil. And in 2021, you're going to look back and say, I won. I won over the pornography. I won over the alcohol. I won over the depression. Because what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's why we got to build God a house. That's why we got to press forward and do what God wants us to do with our lives. Somebody ought to give God praise. I give you 8 seconds, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah to that. That got scary, man. That thing went up quick. Then it's like, this house is on fire. I want to go here to this passage. This really sums it up for me. In Luke chapter 10, all campuses, look at this. There's this guy who comes to Jesus. He said, hey, teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life? In other words, I don't want to burn in hell. What do I need to go to heaven? And so he asked this question, and he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart. There's a heart for the house. With all your heart, everybody shout that with me, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and I would say there are even financial strength, and with all your mind. Don't let your mind wander and think that something's more important than God's house, and love your neighbor as yourself. So you've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you'll live. But he wanted to justify himself, and he asked Jesus, well then, who is my neighbor? And he replied, Jesus is always good at telling stories. Check out the culture Jesus lays down for us. And Jesus replied, a man was going down to Jerusalem over to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him. He went on his way and they left him half dead. And a priest was going down the same road. By the way, we're all going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. And so the Levite came to the place and he saw the man and he passed by to the other side. But the Samaritan, everybody shout, that's me. But the Samaritan came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. That's what Jesus would do. He went and he took bandages and he fixed up his wound and he poured oil and wine on him. And he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to the inn to take care of him. And the next day, he went back to check on him. In other words, he went back to the house and said, hey, here's my credit card. Tells the innkeeper, whatever he needs, spare no expense, I got it. Then he asked, which of these three do you think was the one who loved his neighbor, who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the experts of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, you're right. Go and do likewise. We think about this scenario right now. This guy is down, he's beaten, he's half dead. He's half dead, he's laying there, and the people of God say, oh, I don't want it. That's not my problem. I don't need to build a church in Florida. I don't need to build, you know, a house in Illinois. I'm just gonna pass by. That's not my problem. I'm really into my house. I need to focus on my house. I don't care about God's house. That's his problem. God's big. If he needs it, he can do it. So he sees two of the Christ followers, basically, walking past. Of course, there's the first one who's the robber. People say, well, PD, don't even go there with me. I'm not a robber. Oh, really? The Bible said, wherein have you robbed me? He said, you've robbed me in tithe and offering. So a lot of us got the tithe down, but we don't have the offering down. See, the tithe is what we return to God. And we say, God, you gave me breath and breeches and I'm alive right now. And I wouldn't even be in this position to have this cryptocurrency, or I wouldn't still have this job. So you return the tithe. Then he said, you've robbed me not only the tithe, Malachi 3:10, but you've also robbed me in the offering. That's why we do the Jesus offering every year. It's coming up here in a couple weeks where we're saying, God, we're bringing stuff from our house to your house because we have a heart for the house, because you had a heart on somebody else to build a house that I could go to. And if they hadn't done that, I wouldn't be living this. Now it's my turn to say, hey, this is going to cost me something. Whatever it is, here's my credit card. Do it. You got to ask yourself a question this Thanksgiving weekend. When's the last time you did something sacrificial? I'm talking about all through the Bible in the Old Testament, it talks about sacrifice. We see that God speaks to a man by the name of Abraham, gives him a son, and he said, hey, bring your son, your only son, which is a type of Jesus, and sacrifice him unto the Lord. That's sacrifice. I think about even in my own life when my daddy was building what is the foundation of all these houses. The foundation is built on a guy who was born in 1947 on August 23rd, who said, I'm going to use my life to change people's lives. And he went and paid off his own house, worked super hard, had yard sales, took stuff out of the house, y'all, and had a yard sale to pay off his house so he could take the title deed to Lehman Bank in St. Louis to build God a house at 1416 Larkin Williams Road in Fenton, Missouri. Now in 2021, I still have people. This last week, I had somebody walk up to me and go, I went to your daddy's church in 1983, was a drug addict. God saved me, delivered me, gave me my family. And I'm thinking, my dad's in heaven today, and people are still on earth today because my dad made a sacrificial sacrifice of his life. And on Sunday morning, somebody ought to shout amen, he went to church. On Sunday night, he built a church. On Tuesday night, he built a church. And today, all of these churches, every campus, everywhere, is on the foundation of my dad, who wasn't singing a song, build your church. He just had a heart for the house. And I'm telling you, it's our turn now. More than ever, we've got to build the church. Give God some crazy praise this morning. Build your church. I love that song, right? Build your church. Shout it with me. Build your church. Build it from the ground up. Build your church. Well, that's not just a song. My dad didn't have a theme song. He just had a purpose. So every day, my dad, on the second floor of my house on Lincoln Road in Sunset Hills, would come in there and lay hands on me and say, you got a purpose. You're called, basically. You're equipped. Oh, I'm not going to let you do that. Oh, no, you're not going to hang out with them. I was praying and the Holy Ghost told me, my dad prayed, man. You couldn't get by with anything, right? There wasn't a tracker on my phone, but the Holy Ghost had a tracker to keep me right because I wasn't right, but I had to act right because my daddy was right and he tried to keep me on the right trail. Everybody ought to say amen to that. Amen. My dad set up culture because he had a heart for the house. Our house didn't burn down. And today I got a feeling that a lot of you at all of our campuses, you're in a predicament. Your tongue, as we read in James 3:6, has lit things on fire. You said things you wish you hadn't said. You've basically prophesied and predicted a negative future for your life. And I'm saying that this weekend is the weekend that you can take it back and say, you know what? In the last remaining few weeks of this year of 2021, I'm going to set my affections towards God's house. God's going to set his affection toward my house. And I'm going to look back at this moment. I'm going to say, you know what? I remember that year in 2021 when I left a sacrifice that cost me something. I'm talking about even your time as we wrap this up in the next few minutes. I'm talking about your time, your talent, your treasure. Shout that with me. Your time, your talent, and your treasure. Shout it with me again, class. Why? Your time, your talent, and your treasure. God doesn't just want your money. God wants your time, your talent, your treasure. Years ago, again, I know I talk about my dad a lot, but that should be a great example for you to say that your kids are going to talk about you a lot, either good or bad. My dad, he taught me that we don't just tithe of our money, we tithe of our time. So basically, if God gave you 24 hours today, he didn't give anybody 22, by the way, everybody got 24. My dad said that 2.4 hours of that 24 hours belongs to God. So for 1 hour a day, my dad would have a little prayer journal, and every day he'd say, I spent 1 hour before the Lord. In his room, in his bedroom, I would hear him in there praying, oh, God, use me. Oh, God, help me to build. God, and he was praying for wisdom and direction. 1 hour every day. Then the rest of the time, the 1.4 that he owed God, part of that was just through, it would be podcasts today, but back then, my dad, in the kitchen, he had the fake fruit. Anybody remember the fake fruit? And there was the fake fruit that was just perfect, and my dad had this red amplified Bible, and it would lay up against the fake fruit, and he had a red marker, and he had his Cheerios right there with cut up banana. And every day of my life, I can still see it in my head right now. There's a banana, there's a little butter knife, there's his Bible, there's his red pen, and there the fake fruit. And then now here I'm at my own house and I think I want to make sure that my kids have a memory of me saying, you know what, Dad wasn't there griping, wasn't watching the news. Dad was saying, you know what, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to use our, somebody ought to go with me on this today. We're going to use our life to change somebody else's life. And that's exactly the foundation that I'm standing on today. My dad hadn't had the yard sales. Had to dug the footings. Actually, I wish I'd have brought it. Actually, in our barn back there, I have a piece of the original stone in 1982 that I helped him put on myself. My dad didn't care about no child labor laws. I was going to work. And I'm so glad when I look back at the church and I look back at the stone, I know that I laid those stones. So today in Florida, Ferguson, Weldon, Sunset, Earth City, online around the world, this is your time to cut off the fire of manipulation, the fire of strife. Stop bickering and backbiting at each other and say, you know what? We're going to bring God's power in our house. If there's any fire, it's going to be the fire of the Holy Spirit. If there's any grumbling, complaining, it's going to be outside, but it's not happening in there because I go to faith church and I'm learning how to get the cultural architect of my life. And guess what? We're not even going to bicker and fight at each other because it breaks my heart. And I know it breaks the heart of God when we don't cut that fire off. And what a better weekend to talk about it than Thanksgiving. So you know what? I'm not going to be hateful. We're going to be faced with people that are ungrateful. Want to argue about this, that, and the other? We just ought to say, I'm not going to put my dog in that fight. When they strike up that match, put it out. That person who has the lighter, they just want to light it up. And they want to gaslight it. Don't bite on it. Because guess what? God's love. Love never fails. And if we'll learn to operate in love, we'll actually learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I believe that this time next year, we are going to be in that Illinois campus, and you're going to look back and say, you know what? I helped build that church. I helped tear down those walls. I helped redo that asphalt. Somebody ought to get excited right now. I helped people that were underserved in East St. Louis to get here, and the wealthy people in the community will come as well. And we're getting 5 acres on that highway, and I'm going to be a part of that. I'm not being quiet for any reason other than I want you to ponder in your heart for a minute. When you look back at the end of the trail, when everybody's gone, and you're not here anymore, and I'm not here anymore, and they start digging through your safe, and all that you really had was these earthly possessions, and there wasn't any eternal return on the investment, and to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, and you meet him in the air, and you're singing, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. You start saying, oh, when the saints go marching in. You're loving it. And then you get there and you realize that your whole life, you were building your house, which by the way, burned down, and you weren't really building God's house. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around right now, all campuses. Even at home, I want you to participate in this. Unless you're driving right now, I want you to close your eyes and let God speak to your heart right now. God, on this Thanksgiving weekend, Lord, we just ask you in the name of Jesus. God, first of all, to forgive us for being, all of us, for being so self-absorbed, making it all about us and not about others. God, this weekend, we focus on Jesus and him crucified. We focus on that he said in his word that you build his house upon the rock if you're a wise man, and you build it on the sand if you're the foolish man. And we have faith, church. We're going to build it on the rock. And God, I just thank you that you are extinguishing the very fires of hell that have made their petition and said, hey, I'm going to actually access their house and destroy their marriage and destroy their life. We're not doing that. Not today. Satan, we deassign you. And we say from this moment forward, this enemy that's been assigned to them is going to be deassigned in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, shout amen real big. Amen. Listen, I want to talk real quick before we go one more time about the Heart for the House. That's coming up on the 11th and 12th. Everybody shout that with me. The 11th and 12th. So Saturday night, the 11th and the 12th. In this brochure that you can get on the way out the door today, you're going to have this Heart for the House offering. And on that weekend is when you're going to go into your house and you and your wife and kids are going to pray about this. By the way, this is a great thing to do, to pray about. God, what would you have us do? And kids are generous a lot of times too. They'll be like, hey, Dad, we bought that TV for $3,000 or we went on that trip for this. I mean, we've never done that for God. I remember when I was like 15 years old and God spoke to me at 15 to give $1,000, which I don't know what the math is today on that. It has to be $5,000 or $6,000, maybe 10 today. And I sacrificially decided I was going to help God's house when my dad was paying off the church. And God gave me that. I just wrote down that I owed God $1,000. I only had $5, so I wrote down I owed God $995. And I kept working on that until I paid it down. But this coming up Jesus offering, maybe for the first time, you can look and say, this is what we gave last year. This is what we're going to give this year. And that's the 11th and 12th.
And I promise you, if you'll put God's house first, he'll put your house first in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Check it out. Campus pastors are coming to talk to you more.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.